Take your Bibles tonight, if you will, please, and turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 22. 2 Samuel chapter number 22. This is lesson number 32 on the subject of growth. We've been picking topics and concepts related to growth, and the topic tonight is gentleness. We're going to talk about growing our gentleness, again, something that a Christian ought to be known for. 2 Samuel chapter 22, I want you to stand with me, if you will. 2 Samuel chapter number 22, find verse number 32, if you would. 2 Samuel chapter 22, we're going to start with verse number 32. I'll read out loud and you can follow along silently. 2 Samuel chapter 22, we're going to look at verse number 32. The Bible says this: "For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that the bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great." Thy gentleness hath made me great. The subject tonight is growing in this area of gentleness. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Holy Spirit of God, we can talk and we can listen, and we would do it in a human form or with human limitation. But when you get involved, it becomes supernatural. It becomes more than humanity attempting something for God. So would you please get involved? Help us to accomplish something great tonight, because the great Holy Spirit leads my voice and guides our ears as we study this subject in your book on gentleness, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read again a little portion of that scripture to you. It said there in verse number 36, it says, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great." Did you ever think that you would find that gentleness is what makes someone great? Say, well, that's power that makes someone great. Well, according to this, the Bible says, and so you know, God wrote the Bible, and what's written in it's true. And you and I, as human beings, we don't always see things the way God sees it. His thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And here it tells us, someone said, it's gentleness that has made me great. You say, well, who was that? You say, I know who it was, preacher. It's John the Beloved, the one who leaned on Jesus so tenderly. No, it wasn't John the Beloved. So I know, it was Luke, the physician. Because, of course, a physician, they're going to be tender and gentle and kind. And that makes sense. But it's not Luke, the physician. It's not John, the Beloved, that made this statement, "I became great by practicing God's gentleness." Well, who was it? I've got it. It's Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. That's who it is. Because we all know, I mean, he was known for his tender heart, and he was known, that's his nickname, the weeping prophet. But it wasn't Jeremiah. It was the Good Samaritan. Ah, that's it. It was the Good Samaritan that made this statement. Well, one problem with that, the statement's in the Old Testament, and the Good Samaritan's in the New Testament. But it's not the Good Samaritan. You're just not going to believe this. It's David. David, the soldier, said, "It is when I practiced God's gentleness that I was exalted to greatness." It was David, the one who could fight a lion and defeat that lion with his bare hands, that said, "Gentleness is what made me the great man that God allowed me to be." It was David who fought a bear that said, "Gentleness is what helped me to become what I was." It was David who fought Goliath who said these words. It was David, a warrior. It was David, a commander in chief. David did not say, I'm great because I've killed many. But David had. He said, if I were looking for the greatness in my life, it's when I exercise the gentleness of God in my life. I think the gentleness of God when David exercised it were the great days in his life. I think there were days of great accomplishment in his life. I think people looked at him and said, boy, there's a greatness about him right now. What was that greatness? It was when David, a mighty warrior, was practicing gentleness in his life. David, he did not say, I'm great because I killed many. He did not say, I'm great because I conquered many, although he had. He did not say, I'm great because I ruled many, although he had. He did not say, I'm great because I'm feared by many. That's not what he said. He said, the greatness about me can be attributed to my use of God's gentleness. Let me read another verse to you. I'm going to read to you from Isaiah chapter 40, and I'll read verse 10 and 11. The Bible says this, Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lamb with his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those. You know something? You can be real grateful that your God is a gentle God. Right now you say, I'll tell you what's great about my God. He can rule the universe and he can throw lightning bolts and cause the thunder to boom in the universe. If you really realize what God is capable of, and if we really realize how bad hell is and how holy our God is and how useless we are, you'd be saying, I think the greatness about God is how gentle he is with us because of we're so undeserving. Oh, I'm glad God's gentle. There are so many attributes of God's after which we would like to pattern ourselves. I wonder if we shouldn't be looking at this thing called gentleness. Gentleness. David the warrior, in a moment, said, it's the gentleness of God that really brought the greatness into my life. Growing your gentleness. Well, now let me explain something. That means this. Gentleness is, it's power under restraint. You say, well, I don't want to be gentle. That's for sissies. Oh, no. Oh, no. You calling David a sissy? I'd like to give David a couple minutes with you alone in a room. David was no sissy. You calling God a sissy? God's ultimate power with ultimate restraint. David said, when the greatness in my life, I've discovered it, and what it was gentleness. What was that? David said, it's when God helped me to get my strength under control. You know that lightning, running wild is not a whole lot of use. It's not real productive. But did you know that if you'll take electricity and put it in a little cord, it can become productive? What happened? You take electricity, which is powerful, and then you restrain it. You get it under control. There's a submission to it. And then it's useful and productive. Can move a machine. It can move a building. But lightning just running wild, it destroys things. I mean, it's pretty in the sky, but the truth is, what is that? That's power under control. So don't misunderstand gentleness. You say, oh, gentleness, that means wimpiness. Oh, no. There is wimpiness. But what gentleness is strength controlled. Strength restrained. And I believe David was saying, yes, I fought a lion. Yes, I fought a bear. But the greatest days of my life and when greatness really came upon me was when I took my strength and I confined it and I made it productive strength and I didn't hurt people with it, but I used my strength for good. You know, that's what your strength was given to you for. Never did God give the human race strength so that we might damage one another. That was not God's intent. You know that you can open a door with a crowbar. You can also do it with a key. You can break the hand that treats you wrong, or you can help that hand to do right. You could take a block of ice and take a sledgehammer to it and smash it. Some people just have enough patience to let the block of ice just melt down. Something I've learned. You can change a weak church through war or through wisdom. There are different ways of getting where you're going. Did you know a person who has power but won't control it is no better than a powerless person? A person who has power but they won't control it is really no better than a powerless person, because on both ends they're destructive or they're not accomplishing anything. Men, I think a real man has within himself a desire to crush something, but a gentle man brings that desire under control. He restrains it. I happen to believe this. I think the greatest power in the world is the power of restraint. The power of restraint. David was a powerful warrior, but he said his greatness came when his power did good instead of doing bad. And don't you associate gentleness with weakness. Gentleness, true gentleness, is strength under control. Somebody could knock you in the head and knock you into tomorrow, but they say, I'm not going to do that. I can. I could. I'm not going to do that. That's not what God would have me do. That's not how God would have me to behave. There are men in this room, all sorts of husbands. Can I tell you something? Won't you learn gentleness in your marriage? I'll control this thing. Yeah, I understand. We all understand. Usually the man that has to yell the loudest about his leadership is the one struggling with it the most. Most leaders don't have to get up and say, I'm in charge here. You are so much struggling. What you're saying is, I'm not, and I'm trying to figure out a way to be in charge. You don't usually have to say it. If you are, you are. Listen, men, learn to be gentle. What is it? It's strength under control. Ladies, learn gentleness. Does that make you weak? No. Gentleness is the act of taking your strength, but forcing it to submit. You say, submit to what? The Scripture? Submit to God? Submit to right? Parents, let me give you some advice. Be gentle. When you correct your children, first of all, don't do it in the flesh. When you're angry and you go to discipline or correct your kids, you'll do it wrong. Strength under control. You know, you tell a child, go to your room and you know, or count to 10. You know, it's usually parents that need to count to 10. Learn gentleness. I'm going to show you a couple things about David. And I think these will help you. I have to tell you, there are some people, if you're not careful, you got some mamby, pamby, twerpy, whiny, doormat kind of Christianity, and they'd like to say that they're gentle. No, they're just twerps. There ought to be something in every one of us that's got some grit to it, and that's got some tenacity to it, that's got some boldness to it, that's got that leadership, that ought to be in there, but you can't let that get out of control. What do you do? You get it under control. You let the Spirit of God help you get it under control. And I think David would say to you, the great days of my life were the days when I was the strongest, but I was in control. God had me in control, and I was not using my strength to hurt. I was using my strength to help. And that's what your strength is for. Now let me help you. I'll show you some things that I noticed about it. For instance, I see that David gave up personal victory to help others. It was a proof of his greatness. It was a proof of his gentleness. David gives up some victory for the sake of someone else. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 24 real quick. And we'll turn to these as long as you do it quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 24, we're going to look at verse 1, 2, and 3. 1 Samuel chapter 24, and if you'll just keep your Bible open to 1 and 2 Samuel, we'll be in there for the rest of the night. Well, not the rest of the night, until church is over with. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. And Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And they came to the sheep, by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave." Look back at me, if you will, and let me tell you this story. Saul was actually very jealous of David. Saul was the king. David was an up-and-coming leader in the kingdom. And Saul had become so jealous of David, he wanted to kill him. The Bible says that David was in the wilderness of En-Gedi, and he had actually gone into a cave to hide. Saul and 3,000 of his men were out searching for David. Well, Saul decided he wanted to take a little nap, so he went into the entrance of that cave. Now, you got to picture this. Saul is getting ready to lay down and take a nap. He's at the entrance of the cave. David and a couple of his men are in the back of the cave. Saul is trying to kill David. Now, Saul comes in and takes a nap. And there's David with his sword on and his spear in his hand right back there saying, they're back there whispering, you know. Look, it's Saul. He's up there sleeping. It's him. And do you know what David's men said? Nail him. You got him. Take him out. Do you know what David said about it? David could have killed him. David said this in 1 Samuel 24:6. He said, "The Lord forbid that I do this thing to my master." First of all, David said, wouldn't be fair anyway. The guy's laying down. He's asleep. How much valor is there in killing a guy that's got his Mimi taking a nap? That's what we called it at our house. A Mimi had his blankie. Said, I'm not going to do that. And this is what happened. King Saul woke up. He left, walked away. David let him go away. Later on, David and Saul ended up meeting eyeball to eyeball. And David said, "Saul, you remember that day you were walking through the wilderness of En-Gedi? You remember that cave that you went into and you laid down and you took your garment off and you rolled it up and you used it as a pillow?" And David reached in his pocket. He said, "I've got this tassel." And it was a tassel that David had taken out of his case pocket knife, walked up, cut off a little tassel off the bottom of Saul's garment, stuck it in his pocket. Now they're meeting, and David pulls that tassel out and said, "I was there. You were asleep, snoring to beat the band, and I cut this thing off of your garment." That's what David said. You know what Saul said? In verse 17, "Thou art more righteous than I." Don't you think that David showed some pretty good self-control right there? Did David have what it took to take Saul out? Yeah. Did he? No. David gave up personal victory. Saul basically said, "You're a better man than I am." And it was obvious to others that David was practicing self-control. You see, listen, we too often don't want to help people, but we want to help ourselves. You learning to have other people in mind is going to help grow your gentleness. We want to prove someone wrong, not to help them, but to prove we're right. Listen, we want to crush people so we can feel victorious. I've watched men want to crush their wives. I've watched women want to crush their husbands. I've watched parents want to crush their children. Christians wanting to crush one another. Real gentleness, according to the Bible, real gentleness will make you great. What is gentleness? It's power restrained. Sometimes there are victories that your strength could develop or that could achieve, but you chose not to. Why? Because it was better for the other person. That's gentleness. Can you humble yourself to that point? Real gentleness will make you great with your wife. You all realize there's sometimes it's just not worth fighting about? Do you know, we have our biblical convictions, but you know most husbands and wives don't spend all their time fighting about biblical convictions. They spend their time fighting about some of the stupidest little things. You know, sometimes it doesn't hurt to just give in on whether we're going to have a cheeseburger or, soup. Well, why do we fight about things like that? Gentleness is power restrained. David could have had victory over Saul, but he said, I chose not to. Now, tell me something. Do you think that made David weak? It did not. Matter of fact, David's men said, this guy's got it together. He could have killed the king. The people already love David, just so you know. They love David. That's why Saul's all bent out of shape. The whole kingdom is saying, that David is somebody. David could have taken him out. David said, that wouldn't be right, that wouldn't be fair, and I don't fight like that. I'm not going to be like that. And he walked away. And I don't think there was one man in David's band of mighty men that said, you're a wimp, David. No, they knew better than to say that. He could take their head off like he took Goliath's head off. They knew he wasn't a wimp. They watched him exercise self-control. You need to grow your gentleness. Just in case you thought, well, that makes you weak, that makes you whiny, that makes you wimpy. Oh no. It's proving that you can bring your strength under control. Real gentleness will make you great with your wife. Real gentleness will make you great with your children. Real gentleness will make you great with the people that work for you. Real gentleness will make you great with your friends, with your mom, with your dad, with your teachers, with your leaders, with your followers. Gentleness. Every once in a while, you need not have victory. You need to control yourself. Secondly, I see that in David's development of gentleness, I see that he learned how to listen to people when they tried to calm him down. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Now look at verse number 32. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse number 32. The Bible says, and David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent me this day to meet thee. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging mine own hand. Now look at verse number 35. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. Now look back at me, if you will, and let me tell you a little bit about this story. Nabal was a rich farmer, but he was a rude farmer. Nabal refused to treat David and his soldiers in a hospitable way. Well, Nabal crossed David on the wrong day. Remember who David is. David is the Goliath slayer. David can fight a bear. David can fight a lion. David's not a wimp. David's got plenty of energy. He's not afraid to use it. Well, Nabal crosses David. And David wanted his men treated in a hospitable way, and Nabal was rude to him, said, I'm not going to feed him, I'm not going to take care of him. And David said, buddy, I'm coming down there to knock the holy snot out of you. So David said, fellas, we're going to a brawl. And so they headed out. Nabal's wife, Abigail, knew her husband was a jerk. She knew it. She knew he was a jerk, knew he was nasty. But you know what she did? She ran down to the end of the lane. I think she probably made some homemade cornbread, maybe some fried chicken. And she was right. She was all the way down at the end of the lane of their farm. And here come David. And David, man, the veins in his neck are sticking out. And he's riding that horse for everything it's worth. And he's got Nabal on his mind. And he's about to do what David can do with a Nabal. He's going to mop that old dog up. And he's going to be one sorry bird that he ever crossed David, because David's not real happy. And here comes David riding right toward Nabal's place, and Abigail standing out at the end of the lane. And she went, sir, sir. And he, whoa. And boy, you can hear all the horses stopping. And David, what do you want? Said, listen, I hear you're a very nice guy, and I fix this food for you. And I know my husband's been unkind. Sir, could I just ask you to show mercy? Now, here's what some of you would have said. Get out of my road. I'll do what I want. I'm so angry. I'll say what I want. I'll treat you any way I want. Get out of my road. And you would have stomped on her on your way through. What did David do? Well, he said, blessed be thy advice. She calmed him down. And I think that was one of the days that David would say, thy gentleness hath made me great. Now, what was big old tough David that had all the soldiers that could beat a Goliath, that could whip a bear, that could whip a lion? What's he going to prove by going out and beating up a farmer? He's mad. He's out of control. Get this. His pride has been injured. You're going to hurt my pride? I'm not putting up with you damaging my pride. Because my pride is so big and it's so important. You hurting me, I'm coming after you. I don't care what anybody thinks. That's exactly how David was acting. And Abigail, God sent Abigail down to the end of the lane to say, try this banana bread smothered with butter. And basically, Abigail said, chill out, big boy. And David did. You know, everybody could lose it and want to use their strength to hurt. But God sends people along to try to get us to be gentle. Bring the power under control. You're about to go out and scream and yell and threaten everybody on your shift that you supervise within inches of their life. And somebody just happens to say, just relax for a second. It might be good for you to listen to them. Especially as a Christian leader. You know, Christian leaders are to lead a little differently than all the godless people in the world. Listen to this verse. Psalm 141 verse 5 says, let the righteous smite me. It shall be kindness. You know what that means? Let people calm you down. I don't want to cause any turmoil in your marriage, but sometimes you men, when your wife, you're all wound up and you're going to correct the children and the wife is saying, honey, calm down a little bit. It might be a good idea for you to listen to her just a little before you go discipline the children. I know I wish that my dad would have listened to my mom a couple of times. Hey, don't fight good people who are trying to help you. They may save you some embarrassment. They may save you some relationships. Who is Abigail? Somebody that God sent across the path of the great mighty warrior David, whose power was just going ballistic. She just happened to be there. But the greatness is that he happened to listen to a woman that really had no power over him. He said, You know that when you're about to do stupid things and hurt people, hurt your wife, hurt your husband, hurt your kids, hurt your friend, hurt your neighbor, hurt another Christian, you know God sends people to say to you, relax. But so many times we are so just determined in the flesh to do what we want, we don't listen to them. James chapter 3 verse 17, it uses the word gentle. And it's followed by these words, easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. What does it mean? Gentle people are people that can be approached and you can talk sense to them. Then the word after it is the word peaceable. Hey, are you a troublemaker or a peacemaker? I believe a great person listens to someone that tells them to chill out, calm down, or relax. You say, well, who would do that? Now, God wants to develop your gentleness. Remember, gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is strength under control. To me, the greatest people I've ever met are people that were powerful. I was attracted to their power. Then I was amazed at their ability to control themselves. I knew they were strong. I just knew they were powerful. I knew that they had a strength about them. And then I watched them and I thought, wow, look at the strength, but yet on the other side of it, I see a tenderness and a kindness. I'm watching the power under control. And I'll tell you, I'm enamored by that kind. Dr. Jack Hiles was that way. Whew, you talk about a bombastic leader. He could stand in a pulpit and thunder aloud like nobody's business, and I don't think he was afraid of anybody or anything. I'm talking about a bulldog of a man, but I watched him stand and preach with tears in his eyes, gentle and tender and kind. I was there and worked for him almost 18 years, and I never watched him try to hurt one person. I never watched him attack his enemies. I watched him take a punch and take it with valiantly. I was amazed. By the way, Jesus had the power to call 10,000 angels, but they led him like a sheep to the slaughter, and he spoke not a word. He had all the power that it would take to accomplish the running of the universe, but he was as kind and as tender as a man could be. Some of you, and I'm talking to men and women alike, it's time for you to get it together. You don't have to be rude, and you don't have to be mean, and you don't have to be angry, and you don't have to be vicious. Get it under control. Your being kind does not mean you've lost your power. It just means you've got the God-given sense to let the Holy Spirit of God suppress it so it is used for good instead of being used for destruction. God will send the Holy Spirit to prompt you if you'll listen. God will send your wife to prompt you if you will listen. God will send your husband to prompt you if you will listen. God will send your mother-in-law. Just don't answer the door. God would send a lesson like this one to prompt you. Your Bible reading could prompt you. Some message by your pastor that he didn't even know what you were going through, but somehow he reached into your heart and got a hold of you and tried to derail your anger or whatever it is. A real friend, and let me say this, a real friend will calm your spirit, not stoke it up. A real friend will calm your spirit, not stoke up your anger. A real friend will calm you down, not create revenge or hatefulness or rage. Hey, God will send people to try to calm you down. Just remember this. Gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is only necessary for those who have strength, and God wants it to be contained. So the greatness, the strength, is contained and it becomes gentleness. I really think that gentleness is a combination of strength and humility all wrapped into one. It's like peanut butter and jelly, and you can't get a much better combination. And it's David that says this. I'm glad. God is so smart. God is so smart. First of all, David gave up victory in an effort to help others. Then we see that David was willing to let other people calm him so that his strength did not get out of control, so it became gentleness. Let me say this. And I'll hurry with this. I wish I had more time. Number three, David did not try to destroy his enemy to gain more power. Let me tell you a couple quick stories. For instance, David and his men in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David and his men were away on a trip. While they were away, the Amalekite army came and captured the town of Ziklag where David and his men and their families lived. Now, David and his men, when they got there, they found a wounded man. That wounded man happened to belong to the Amalekites who had just pillaged his city. Now, picture it. A wounded man who had just pillaged the city. He was actually a slave to an Amalekite. David finds him. Now, David said, who are you with? He said, well, I'm with the Amalekites. Now here, the man was already wounded. David could have killed him. He could have let his men have revenge on him. But according to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 11 through 13, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. David wanted to do right more than have power. Now, sometimes, folks, we, our pride and our desire to make our point becomes so vicious, it ceases to be about right and wrong. It turns into a personal issue. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. And by the way, that's not gentleness. Gentleness is not practice. If you're going to be gentle, you've got a strength, but you get it under control. Revenge may get you some power with man, but it will render you powerless with God. But David didn't use revenge to try to get more power. There was another time when David, let me see. Okay, here's a story. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 through 7, David had asked, Saul was king, and David was about to take over the throne. And David asked, all of Saul's people had been put to death. And David said, is there anybody else left from Saul's household that's alive? Now understand, normally they'd put to death everybody from the last king's family when a new king took over in the Bible. And you say, why? Because the threat of the old king's family rising up and having an uprising in the new king's kingdom. So David said, is there anybody left of Saul's old kingdom? And everybody said, well, there's this one kid, he's a crippled kid by the name of Mephibosheth. He's one of Saul's kids, boys. Now, Mephibosheth was a boy that had been crippled, but he was a boy, which could then mean he could have been heir to Saul's throne, which really makes him a threat. Because if one of the ex-king's boys is alive, now that boy could get some people to follow him to rise up, and Saul's kingdom could have a resurrection and go against David. David said, bring him to me. Can you imagine this little crippled boy? Say, oh no, David is about to deal with me. I'm a boy and I'm the only one left. And you know what happened? David said to Mephibosheth, he said, son, you're bound to be scared and hungry. Don't you worry. I'm going to adopt you like my boy. You're going to eat at the king's table. That's what David did. Now, I've got a feeling here that David was more interested in security with God than security with man. I would rather do what's right and know that God's on my side than do what I think will bring me security. No, I've got to do what God wants me to do, and that is the greatest security one could have. So we see one time David could have killed in revenge, but he said, I'm not going to do that. Then we see David could have gotten more security for himself, but he chose not to. He said, the great security for me is treating people right, and then God will treat me right. That's what he did. There's another story in the Bible, and I wish I had time to read all the scripture for you. But in 2 Samuel chapter 16, there's a story of a guy by the name of Shimei. And Shimei was a loudmouth blabber face. Shimei talked too much. And one day David and his men were riding along, and Shimei started calling David names. Now, I don't know if Shimei had been drinking or what was up, but Shimei had to be a brick short of a load, because really a guy like David, who can whack off the giant's head and can kill a lion and can kill a bear and can walk away from killing the king, who is the tallest man in the kingdom, I would say, I don't want to mess with this guy by the name of David. But Shimei's out there one day, and David and his men are riding their horses by, and Shimei starts calling David names. I mean, we're talking na 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 na, big fat David, and all sorts of things like that. And he's out there teasing and mocking. And David had a right-hand man by the name of Abishai. And Abishai said, let's kill this dog. He's a dog. Let me whack him. I can take care of him. And David said, basically, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. He said, Abishai, take a chill pill. I've been called names before. It's okay. Relax. And the Bible says David just rode out around him and went on his way. Now some of you, somebody can call you a name. You go ballistic. And what they called you is true. I would recommend to some of you that you never do what I do. Do you know that when you're in the ministry, you'll be called things and you'll be accused of things, and you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to be kind and gentle and good to people. You can't even do that with your wife. You can't do that with your husband. How could you do it with the general public? And I know we all have had our belly full of politicians, but I don't want to be a politician. There is a price to pay when you're in public office. But what I see here of this man by the name of David, I see David could have had revenge, but he didn't try to have revenge. I see David could have had more security for himself, but he chose not to have more security for himself. I see that people could call him names, but he chose not to let those names affect him. What was David? David was a man that was a strong man that was learning to get his strength under control. And I have to tell you, I really do believe I would rather someone start out with strength and then we temper it. Because most of the time, if you start out with somebody that's just a weakling, you can't add strength to that. You give me a boy that's 15, 16 years of age and he walks like a girl and talks like a girl and acts like a girl, then you try to teach him manhood, it's pretty hard to do. You give me a young man that's a little more rugged than what he's supposed to be, and he belches in public, and he scratches himself, and he's all the time uncouth. But then you take that very same boy, you could put a little finesse to him. You could teach him, and you could help him to learn some manners, and teach him when to and when not to belch, and which fork to use at the table. I would rather someone start out with strength, and then you add the beauty to it, than to have the beauty as a boy and try to add strength to it, which gives some of you people hope. You've got a strength, but if you don't add the beauty to it, you're going to self-destruct, you're going to ruin your kids, you're going to ruin your marriage, you're going to ruin your Christianity, you're going to ruin your reputation at work. Yes, you're to be strong, but you've got to get it under control. I want you to be strong, and God wants you to be strong. God doesn't want you to be a mamby-pamby, throw in the towel at every little evidence of opposition. God wants you to be strong. But the yelling, and the screaming, and the name-calling, and the hatefulness, and the revenge, and the meanness, that's just you out of control. That's flesh. Have the strength. Get the control. God calls it gentleness. And by the way, God is the perfect example of power under control. Gentleness. I love it. I'll read the scripture to you again. I won't. 2 Samuel 22. David said, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." I believe David would have gone down in history with the worst of kings had he not taken that strength and got it under control. It's a good thing for David that God got a hold of him. You all understand how powerful David was? He had power with the women. He had power with the men. He had physical power. He had all the power in the world. God had to get it under control. And David said, "When I finally realized my power restrained, that is what made whatever bit I was great," said David, "that's what made me great." God's gentleness, power under control. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I believe all of us as Christians need to grow our gentleness. We've got to take the strength, get it under control. Who here tonight would say, "Preacher, I've learned something tonight. I think it'll help me. I want my strength to be controlled so it's productive and useful and not hurtful." Would you raise your hand and say, "Oh boy, I need it"? We all do. Certainly we do. We're going to have a moment of altar call. If you need the altar, I welcome you to come. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Don't use your strength to hurt. Use your strength to help. You say, "Well, I can tell them what I think." I know you could. But maybe you ought to just be quiet. "Well, I could show them." Yes, you could. "I could handle them." Uh-huh. Sure could. Maybe you need to handle you. And God knows I am not promoting a wimpy Christianity. There are times when we'll stand up and fight. There are times when we are going to need to stand and not back down. But there's even a right way to do that. The altar's open if you need it. Gentleness, power, under control. Thank you, Mrs. Young. Everybody remain standing and look right at me.